The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom, and welcome to episode 42 of the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom, representing the Kingdom, myself, Brad Simcox, and Arrow Headlines editor, Tom Childs. In this week's show, we'll be taking a look at this week's Arrow Headlines, and later on, we'll give you the obstacles that we believe the Chiefs might face this year that could stop them reaching the Super Bowl. But first,
season, a real breakthrough campaign. Digne, over Watkins, coming in with Cash. Oh, Matty Cash! A real blow for the league leaders. It will be heralded at Anfield, but only in a small part of the Etihad, where the Villa fans are delighted. Son Heung-min, here's Coutinho! It's 2-0 to Aston Villa.
Oh my word.
Coutinho.
The English Premier League has concluded for the 2021-22 season. Congratulations to Manchester City and their fans, and obviously the Manchester City fans in America, because there is some, I do know some. Your team are champions yet again, winning it four times in the last five seasons. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, it's an incredible achievement. I just feel nothing about it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Man City winning the league is kind of like the Patriots winning the Super Bowl.
Yes.
But even like you care even less because the way it's all come about, and that sounds really bitter, doesn't it? It does. But no, it was a fantastic end to a fantastic Premier League season for Man City to turn it around in those 6 minutes of just absolute madness, going 2-0 down to 3-2 up in 6 minutes was crazy. I actually switched games because obviously
you didn't.
Well, yeah, because when Man City went 2-0 down, it was then in Liverpool's hands, and Liverpool were drawing. I had Liverpool won and Man City drew, then Liverpool would have won the league on the final day of the season. So I switched games to see if Liverpool could get the winner. And then next thing you know, I'm looking at my phone and it's 2-2. Yeah. So I switched back to the Man City game just in time for their winner and the scenes there. It was a spectacular end to the season across the board. Like, I'm disappointed what happened with Arsenal in the end. It was still a very good season. It could have been better. But you know, overall, in terms of growth of a team, then yeah, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, we're talking about foundations of a team, weren't we, at some point in the last show? And Arsenal's pretty much in that kind of realm at the minute, aren't they? The foundation.
Yeah, they just haven't got a Patrick Mahomes. That's the problem.
No, that's what they
haven't got. They haven't got any superstars. That's where Arsenal are very young, very good. They just haven't got like any world-class players. That was ultimately the difference between Arsenal and Tottenham, was that Tottenham have two world-class players in Son and Harry Kane, where... Yeah. Arsenal don't have anyone close to those two, and that was the difference in the end.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm over it.
Funny you should say that. I used to watch the games when it was like towards the end of the Premier League season, where Sky used to put on like a channel where it was zooming in and out of all the different games that were going on.
Yeah, yeah. Like a red zone equivalent.
It was very much early days red zone, wasn't it? And it was like, what's happening now? Let's go to this ground. Let's go to that ground. And it was quite busy, but you followed it because, you know, you knew what the stakes were, because they had like the little table at the bottom right-hand corner or something, or the left-hand corner, didn't they? Where what's happening now? You know, this is what's happening because this team's got so many points and they've just equalized. And now it's, you know, it was all like what's happening, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. But they don't really seem to have that now.
No, I don't know why. Maybe because the games are across so many different channels. It's like America, isn't it? Like, there's so many different networks who want a piece of that pie that maybe that they can't do it. They can't get the rights. But it did get me thinking.
Yeah.
It did get me thinking. I regard the English Premier League as like one of the top sporting leagues in the world. And I think that's a fair statement across all sports. I think that's fair in terms of viewers. It's the most watched sports league in the world. Even more so than the NFL, the NBA, the Premier League is well above and beyond that by a country mile. But I got thinking, like, in regards to the NFL, because we like to link anything we can to do with football to American football. That's the whole point we're here. We have a niche, apparently. That's people like it. So that's why Pete got us on, is to talk about crazy ideas and crazy scenarios like this. And it got me thinking, like, what would I prefer for the NFL? Would I prefer, like, a round robin table style league like the Premier League, where you play every team at least once, and then whoever's top, there's a point system, whoever's top of the league, they are the champions? Or do I prefer the traditional playoff system that the NFL currently has?
Yeah.
Where do you sit on that? I have an answer, but I just want to see where you sit on that first.
Where do I sit on this? Do you know what? There's something to be said about playing every single team that year.
Yeah.
And basically crowning yourself as you know, the team that's won it outright is the outright winner, because they have beaten everybody, or they've played everybody to prove that they are the best team in that year.
Yes.
So I get that. But in terms of excitement and things, and especially like, you know, drumming up kind of, you know, previous games from like, you know, back when, where you've had, like, I don't know, where the Chiefs have played the Dolphins like 5 years ago or something like that, and you want to get revenge this time. I kind of enjoyed that side of it as well. That's, you know, you've got a bit of a grudge match against the team that beat you 5 years ago or something. You know, that kind of thing. But
yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, you're right in what you said about the first part. The league table doesn't lie.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Like, whoever's top
in the pudding.
Whoever's at the top of that table, if you are number one in the league table, you are the best team in the league. If you are 20th, it means you're the worst team in the league. There's no lie. The league table does not lie. There are too many games played for it to be a lie. Where the NFL playoffs absolutely can lie.
Yes.
You
can have one of the worst teams that win it.
Yeah, we saw it last year.
Yeah.
With the Bengals. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but are you telling me that the Bengals, if you could line up all the AFC teams now, are you telling me the Bengals are the best team in the AFC?
No.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely
they just went on a run. And this is where I sit with What do I prefer? I actually prefer the NFL style of it because you get a mixture of both.
Mm.
You get the league table format, which kind of decides the rankings going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But then when you get to the playoffs, you know that most of the teams, bar like last year's Steelers, should be pretty good coming into it. And any one of those teams can get hot and go on a run. Mm-hmm. Like the reason why we all go on about Leicester City winning the Premier League is because it was so unheard of. Like no one thought they were going to win the Premier League that year. No, like a few random crazy people that should be locked up put some money on it at the start of the season. But in general, no one believed that they were going to win the Premier League that year that they did. I certainly didn't. I thought Arsenal were going to win it. More for me. But with the NFL, you do get these random like six seeds every now and then that do come forward and win. Like, but the Giants, they won the Super Bowl from the sixth seed. Like the Bengals almost won the Super Bowl last year and what they were the fourth seed. So it does happen. It does happen. And I do like the fact that the NFL offers an opportunity. As long as you're in, you stand a chance where you can be out of the Premier League title race really quickly. Like Arsenal lost their first three games of last year and were basically out of the title race immediately. Yes. See, I never thought they were in it, but they were basically eliminated after the first three games. Too much ground to catch up. That's not the case in the NFL. If you get hot in November, December, just get yourself into the dance and then go make some noise from there. So I think the NFL's probably got it about right.
Yeah, I like the unpredictability of the NFL. I think that's key with entertainment value. The NFL's got it spot on with that. But again, you still have the entertainment value from the league system because you had what we had in the last game of the season, right down to the wire, wasn't it? Where, 2-0 down, Man City were 2-0 down, out of it. Everybody had kind of written them off after that and they scored three goals in 5 minutes. And it's that kind of level of excitement that's built up over that course of that season, the course of that year, where the NFL system, you get that excitement almost every week because you've got very various teams battling out for division position, haven't you?
Yeah.
And obviously trying to get into the playoffs as well. So you've got obviously the wild card, all that kind of thing that comes around from having that entertainment value. So I think collectively throughout the year, the entertainment value for me is definitely the NFL.
Yeah, agreed.
But there is a lot of excitement towards the end of that, the end of a Premier League season. Well, any league season where you've got teams battling out for the actual championship, but also in relegation at the bottom end.
Yeah.
So, we've seen all of the pictures of the fans running onto the pitch, all excited about the fact that they've stayed in the Premier League. I mean, that's what that feels like. You've almost won something in itself. You've actually stayed in there. So, I do like that part of it, that the zeros of the league get a bit of an opportunity to be kind of heroes in a way.
If you could, obviously it's never going to happen because of franchising sports, but a form of relegation in American sports for me would be very welcome. Indeed, like it doesn't sit. I get why they do it, but in the Premier League or any division or division based pyramid system for any sport, if you become bottom, you get punished. You drop down a league. In American football, you're the worst team in the league. Oh, here you go. Here's the best player from college last year. Here's your prize. It does. I don't know. I love watching a draft and everything, and I do like the fact that the league tries to turn over and make it equal, but. I think anything to avoid teams from tanking and making them want to play better for me is slightly more beneficial to the league than saying, hey, let's tank for Trevor.
Yeah, exactly. Should we get off the Premier League chat for now? Get onto the chat. And in fact, it's actually your realm, this, mate, because we're going to be starting including it in this podcast. We're going to start including the Arrow headlines that Tom painstakingly does every single day.
Hardest job in the world.
It is.
Hardest job in the world.
It is. Trying to find content in this part of the new season.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've had like practice sessions that have come about recently as well, which we'll probably get into that a little bit later on. But trying to find headlines and news articles put together on the Arrowhead Pride website. It is very difficult. And like you said, a lot of our colleague Nick, steal a lot of your content as well.
Do you know what? I obviously made that comment, tongue in cheek comment last show. And I checked headlines because I always like make a star of it during the day and whatnot, ready for the next morning. And John Dixon done that exact thing as we were recording. Yeah, he stole one. He's just too good at his job. He's too good. That's his problem. But yeah, we're basically going to have a look at just throughout the off season. We're going to pick because we're doing a fortnightly show. We're going to have a look at our headlines from the last couple of weeks. And we're going to take some more so like opinion pieces that have been written over the last couple of weeks. And we're going to give our views on them. This isn't news. This isn't a news part of the podcast. News podcast, you go to the editor show, go to Pete, go to John. They can deal with the news.
They'll deal with the details.
We're more so reacting and giving our own opinion on other people's opinions and telling them why they're wrong or why they're right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So basically stealing content and using it as our own.
Yes, I like that.
So I'll go first.
Go on then.
I'll go first. Right. So this one was from Arrow Headlines a couple of weeks ago or last week.
Yeah.
And I actually led with this. And when I first read it, I thought, this bloke's crazy. And it was from a CBS article. I cannot remember the author. I will find the author so they get credit. And they said that Sky Moore should be favorite for offensive rookie of the year.
Wow. Really?
Where do you stand on that?
I mean, I in a way, I can kind of see where they're coming from with that because he's got the quarterback, he's got the coach, he's got, you know, he's got the setting is right in Kansas City, isn't it? So I can kind of understand why they're going to kind of pitch that on him. But I don't know. I mean, draft position wise and stuff, really, is that going to be something that is going to be a thing for Sky Moore? Is he even going to play? I mean, that's the other thing as well, because, you know, we all know that Andy Reid doesn't really like to throw in wide receivers right off the bat as soon as they've been selected. You know, he seems to give them a year, doesn't he? So I don't know where they're coming from with that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's a bit loco. I'm not going to lie. Obviously, ordinarily, you come out of a draft and you see that five quarterbacks have been taken in the first round and you automatically assume that it's going to be one of those guys that's going to win offensive rookie of the year. And why is it Kenny Pickett's the only one that's taken before Sky Moore. So if any quarterback's going to win it, you'd expect it to be him. But if he doesn't win it, obviously naturally you go to pass catchers. Like a running back winning rookie of the year, that's not happening. Offensive lineman, if Creed Humphrey doesn't win rookie of the year, then no offensive lineman's going to win rookie of the year this year.
Exactly. That was a travesty, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you know. Come on, Jamar Chase was pretty darn special last year.
He was only good towards the end.
I think you're being harsh here.
Creed Humphrey was the rightful.
I remember sitting on this show and being like, Jamar Chase should win Rookie of the Year, and then just feeling daggers from Chiefs Kingdom from all over everywhere. So what? I'm just looking now, and what Sky Moore was the tenth receiver taken in the draft this year,
and to pin 11th
receiver taken 11. So you've got Alec Pierce, George Pickens, John Mechie, Christian Watson, Jahar Dotson, then Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Drake London all ahead. Like, if you're looking at quarterbacks, then you probably, if you're going to base your opinion on they could win Rookie of the Year because of their quarterback, then obviously Sky Moore stands a good chance. But then so does the guy that went to Green Bay as well. I can't remember his name. Christian Watson.
Yeah.
Like, who have Green Bay got to throw the ball to this year? Sammy Watkins? And he's half a hamstring? Like, that's not going to happen, is it?
He's half a hamstring. This is the equivalent of, this CBS article here is the equivalent of somebody backing the Chargers every single year until they actually do something. Do you know what I mean?
Going for Mahomes.
Yeah, they're just basically plucking something out of the air because they think there might be an opportunity, there might be a chance, you know, that I might be right and I'll look like a god when I get it right. That's what it feels like, that kind of selection.
Yeah. So the guy was Chris Trapasso from CBS. And I quite like the article. Like, he makes some good points, but having Sky Moore at number one, I don't know, Treylon Burks number two and Kenny Pickett number three. And what I mentioned Christian Watson, and he's not even in his top 10. So, yeah, wow. I don't know. For me, I'm going to say no, Sky Moore won't win Offensive Rookie of the Year. If he does, then wow, Brett Veach, wow. But I'm going to say I'm going to put a lid on it and say no to Sky Moore winning Offensive Rookie of the Year.
It sounds like the Mahomes effect has crept in there with CBS.
Yeah. I read a lot of CBS articles. They love Mahomes.
Yes.
More so than any other outlets. They love him.
It's the Mahomes effect. We've talked about it before many a time on this podcast, but yeah, the Mahomes effect is a real thing, unless you name Tyreek Hill. I'm sorry, I had to bring him back up again. Sorry. The one that I liked, actually, it was one that I was thinking, that can't be real. That can't be something that's in our headlines. But it was Coach Reed, apparently, sneaking in 1977 into his school or into the school where they filmed Grease. I was like, I read that article right. I'm sucked in. I'm going to click on that article because that is something that's drawn me in there. apparently, he wasn't there to go and watch Travolta. He's there to go and watch Olivia Newton-John. I mean, fair play to his honesty. Fair play.
Just breathing heavily into his play card. it's funny you brought this one up because I didn't see this one originally when I was putting it together, but Pete sent me it. And every now and then Pete sends me one, says, oh, this would be good for headlines, Tom. And he sent me this one for about Andy Reid and Grease. And I opened it up and Pete sent me the quote saying, this is probably a good quote to use. And it was about Andy Reid talking about play description. But I was really hoping that I was going to open it up. And it was Andy Reid saying, oh, if I wasn't going to be an NFL coach, I was going to be a T-bird or something like that. That's what I was really hoping it was going to say. Just imagine Andy Reid doing Grease Lightning.
It's Grease Lightning. Do you know what? I'm going to predict it now, right? When Mahomes is ready to snap the ball, he's going to call an audible and it's going to be called T-bird, T-bird, T-bird.
I'm looking forward to the first Brit Chief edit when Mahomes starts pointing to coverage to the center. Yeah. You're trying to find the mic and you're just going to do, oh, he's learning. you can really tell it's the 26th of May, can't you?
When we're talking about Grease and culture.
This show has been garbage so far. Like, what are we talking about? Talking about Andy Reid and Grease and Sky Moore being Offensive Rookie of the Year. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. Well, it doesn't get like another one I found in our headlines, which you should read every day, by the way.
It's brilliant. It is good.
This was from Sportscasting, and I think they stole it from NFL.com themselves. So we're stealing it from them as well. Travis Kelce could be next in line to be in a broadcasting booth. Now, obviously, Tom Brady has come forward and now he's going to go to the Fox booth next year and earn himself an absolute fortune. Obviously, Tony Romo has already made that transition. Greg Olsen, who's obviously a former NFL tight end, he's moved into broadcasting and he's very good at it, to be fair. Another tight end that tried it, that wasn't so great, Jason Witten, but there seems to be more players interested than ever moving into broadcasting post-career. And they've said that Travis Kelce would be good at it. It's another article I don't think I agree with. Like, would he be very good at it? Like, he would be entertaining, but I can imagine he'd get quite annoying quite quickly because I like Travis Kelce a lot, but like, I love Romo because he has that perfect balance of entertainment and informing me.
Yeah.
Where I feel like Travis Kelce would just be like all hype the whole time. You'd almost need him part of like as a free man crew. Like you couldn't have him as the collar guy. He'd have to be a free man crew and just like jump in every now and then go, yeah, or something like that. Like, that's what Travis Kelce role would have to be.
He would be dialed up to 11 a lot, I think, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I think that's Kelsey's style and how his attitude and stuff. But saying that, that's probably the reason why it's probably come about is because of that particular player where, you know, it was do it, Kelce, do it, do it, do it. Where he kind of found something that was, you know, a mismatch in the in the opposition's defense, and he's probably put a lot of these networks on alert, thinking he actually knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. I suppose the guy can find a soft spot in a zone better than anyone can. Like he knows his stuff, that is for sure. Him and Mahomes are telepathic at times. He certainly knows how to read coverages. I don't doubt his ability to break stuff down. I just doubt his ability to calm himself down.
Yeah. He can break things down, but can he dial it down? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I don't know. I mean, where does this put like the likes of Tony Gonzalez? Because he's quite a straight-laced kind of guy, isn't he, Tony Gonzalez?
Yeah. And straight-laced is another word for boring, by the way.
Yeah, straight-laced, but yeah. But he, again, he knows his stuff. He's been around the game often, you know, quite a long time. But entertainment value, we talked about it before, didn't we, about the leagues and stuff like that. Entertainment value, I think Kelce would be very entertaining in front of a mic.
Okay. So what lead guy are you pairing him with?
What lead guy?
Yeah, Nance, Trico, Michaels, Buck. Which one are you? Harlan, Iron Eagle.
Can you pair him up with somebody like that?
So you're just talking about starting a whole entire new crew. Martin Tyler and Travis Kelce. So many people won't get that reference at all, but that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be good. No, I really don't know, mate. I really wouldn't like to pair him up with anyone because I just think they couldn't handle a Travis Kelce in front of the mic. They just couldn't handle him. Because he'd just get so excited about the game, he'd be chugging beers left, right, and center. I don't know. What do you think? Who do you think he'd be good paired up with?
See, my guy is Nance. I really like Nance, but I'm not breaking up Nance and Romo. No chance. Like if Nance and Romo broke up, that'd be like watching my parents break up for me. like it would be on a par. Like it would do that much damage to me. Emotionally, like Nance and Romo not being together.
Just find you in a corner somewhere. Yeah.
No, I quite like Michaels as well. Sticking with Michaels.
Yeah.
Because Michaels has moved on now, hasn't he? Has he gone to Amazon now or Monday Night Football? I think so. I know he's not with Collinsworth anymore. No, Joe Buck's gone to Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And has Collinsworth gone there? And I don't know. They've all moved around. All I know is Nance and Romo are still together.
Yeah.
And that's all I care about.
That's all you care about.
Yeah. And I'm kind of happy that Buck's gone to Monday Night Football because of all the weekend's football, Monday Night Football is the one that I don't very often get to watch.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of Thursday Night Football. I watch a lot of Sunday Night. I don't really watch Monday Night Football.
Right.
And Joe Buck is by far and away my least favorite lead commentator.
Like, well, we knew that from the Super Bowl, didn't we?
Exactly. So I don't get to see Joe Buck or hear Joe Buck much this year. So I'm pretty
happy. Maybe Joe Buck with Kelce might spring a bit of life into him. Maybe. The last one I've got actually before we head to the break is Juan Thornhill. It's actually quite a recent one. This one, isn't it?
Today's
headlines. Juan Thornhill, an underappreciated player on NFL.com. One of the players that they've named as being an underappreciated player. I mean, I don't know where I stand on this because there was a lot of talk about him last season, wasn't there? Coming in and kind of taking the place of Sorensen and everything. And he did come in and there did seem to be a bit of a turnaround, but I don't think it was because of the fact that Thornhill was plugged in. I just think the team managed to find something. I mean, we all know about, obviously, the likes of Chris Jones moving from one position to the other, from the edge and back into the interior and stuff. So there was a lot of things that I think the Chiefs were trying at the time that weren't particularly working at the beginning of that season.
Agreed.
And Thornhill... Yes, like I said, it did start turning around when he came in, but I don't think that was because of him.
No, it was because of Melvin Ingram. We all know that.
Yeah, we all know.
Everyone knows that. Like, he's like the last remaining player of this secondary, like the safeties from last year. Like, he's been turned around except for Juan Thornhill. Mm-hmm. Is he underappreciated? I don't know. He was really quite good in his rookie year.
He was, yeah.
He's been injured obviously a few times, and he struggled to get back to that level that he was at before he got that injury in his rookie year. And at one point we all thought that Thornhill and Matthew could be this pairing that we could keep together for years, and they would be one of the best pairings in the NFL, and it never really materialized. Nope. And now you're looking at him, right? He's his last year of his contract, his rookie contract, and they've just bought in Justin Reed. They've just drafted Cook as well. So they're throwing bodies at just in case it doesn't work out for Thornhill. I don't know if I buy him being underappreciated. I just don't think he's got to a level yet where he was that we can underappreciate him. If we're still having this, if he gets to the level that he was in his rookie year, then I think he'll send a reminder to everyone, go, I'm still here. I'm still that guy. I can still play. But we need to see it from him.
Okay, we'll take a quick break there. When we come back, we'll be discussing the obstacles that the Chiefs might face to reach the Super Bowl this year.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi there, welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with Brad and Tom. We're going to be talking about the obstacles the Chiefs might face to reach the Super Bowl this year. But I just wanted to mention something because I've had another look at it before we actually went back on the show. And have you seen the Justin Ross, the catch in practice?
Yeah.
The one-handed
catch. Who hasn't seen the one-handed catch in practice?
It was phenomenal what I saw on that. I know it's practice. You've got to take it with a grain of salt, but he didn't look like he was hampered by an injury at all with that one-handed grab, did he?
One-handed left-handed grab.
Left-handed grab as well.
Left-handed grab. Yeah, this hype train, like I'm hoping you're going to stick some train noises over the top of this when you go to edit the show, but this hype train, this Justin Ross hype train, starting to look like an Indian commuter train at the moment, isn't it? Like there are so many people on this train at the moment. It is full. There's people hanging off the sides, people sitting on tops, top of it. They make space for me because I want to jump on myself, but I don't know if there's room. Are we already too late to the Justin Ross hype train?
I think we are.
Are we like now like Green Day fans after American Idiot? Like, I think you're too late. You're too late. You should have been here at Basket Case, and then you can say, call yourself a real fan. Is this what it's like now? Are we too late to the Justin Ross party?
I think we are, because I must admit, when we picked him up, an undrafted free agent, and when somebody in our chat went, oh, we've got Justin Ross, went, is he good?
Yeah. Well, we must be late. That's it then. We're too late. We need to find a different rookie that we can...
find another train. Is that what you're saying? We'll wait for the next one.
We need to find our own train that's broken down, that's not going to keep up with any type of hype train. Like, Justin Ross is the bullet train, then, I don't know, our rookie can be Thomas the Tank Engine. Like, I don't know. Like, I was really trying to think of famous slow trains there, but I just, lo and behold, I couldn't think of one. But again, we hype back to it. We get back to it. It's May the 26th. So anything we say now doesn't matter. We're absolutely fine. But, you know, I've enjoyed what we have seen from mini camp so far. I know our guy Pete, Big Boss Man's there at the moment, and he's going to be giving loads of updates on what he sees on arrowheadpride.com. There's my professional plug. Thank you very much. There's my, I'll charge for that later. But it is good. It's good to see. Like, we are so starved of Chiefs content throughout this period of the year that even getting mini camp and seeing all the guys together, seeing Mahomes throwing passes to the likes of Juju Smith-Schuster, to the likes of Justin Ross, like, it's the type of things we want to see. Obviously, we don't get like the nitty gritty that we get from training camp, where we get to hear about the personnel groupings, the formations. We don't hear any of that. We don't know who's lining up with who. We don't know who's first team, who's second team. We just don't get any of that in minicamp, but we do get a little bit. And the Chiefs threw us a little nugget yesterday. They said, oh, go on, have this one-handed grab from Justin Ross, and boy, howdy, the Chiefs kingdom will lap it up.
He caught it down near his shins. I mean, that was the amazing thing from it. I mean, it looked as though that ball was like, he wasn't going to get on the end of it. And he just amazing, just really good. And like you said, it is practice at the end of the day. And
are you throwing in Allen Iverson over this one as well?
But we're talking about practice, man.
Yeah, we're talking about practice, man.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the hype has only kind of intensified a bit more because the chatter coming out of the camp as well is that Mahomes is very impressed with him. Kelce is very impressed with him. And you can't take that with a pinch of salt. You've got to take that with everything that those two guys are saying, because those two guys are legends already and veterans of the game already.
Yeah.
It's crazy saying that about Mahomes being a veteran, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Crazy saying that. But to hear them big up this kid, you know, who is, like you said, he was predicted to be a first round talent, but we've picked him up in free agency, and for them to be excited about him as well, I mean, gets everybody else excited as well.
Well, in the space of 25 minutes, we've talked about Justin Ross's one-handed grab and the prospect of Sky Moore being Offensive Rookie of the Year. So
I'm all for it.
I don't know what we're worrying about. Tariq who? But no, we are in a position where, like, the ceiling for this Chiefs receiving group is so high.
If you mentioned that in the last one, didn't you? You mentioned that.
Did I say that in the last show? Well, then I won't repeat myself soon.
Well, I'm glad you did, because you're right. The ceiling is high. I feel as though it can be pushed.
I feel like it's a really low floor as well, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a really low floor, but a really high ceiling as well.
Potential-wise, yeah.
And if we end up in the middle ground this year, then it's still going to be probably better than last year. If you add Travis Kelce's productivity into that, obviously that takes it up a notch. But yeah, there's all this potential in this receiver room now, when all young guys, and if Justin Ross can be one of those guys, can nail down a roster spot and potentially come in and make some plays and live up to his 2019 tape, then who knows? The sky is the limit. Oh. And there's no pun intended with Sky Moore. Maybe that's something we can, that's maybe the new nickname for the Chiefs receivers. The sky's the limit.
Oh, I like that.
Maybe.
I like that.
Yeah. We've moved on from Legion of Zoom.
The Legion of what?
Legion of whom? To
actually, I'm glad you mentioned that actually, because have you seen the Dolphins are trying to nickname?
Nick it or rebrand it as their own?
Nick it. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to nick it. They're trying to take it from us, Tom. It's ours. It's Chiefs.
Those pesky Dolphins. First they take Tyreek, then they take Melvin Ingram, and now they're trying to take our nickname. You may take Melvin Ingram,
but they'll never take our freedom.
I know. They're trying to take everything. They're just trying to be the Chiefs.
Yeah. Maybe.
I think that's what it is. I mean, you know, yeah, it is flattering, I suppose, but stop it. Stop it.
Pesky Dolphins.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The main part of the show.
Sorry, complete sidetrack. It's that South Park episode where the Japanese are killing all of those dolphins and whales.
I've not seen that one.
Okay, yeah. They walk around saying explicit, so if you dolphin, you whales, and basically they're killing a load of dolphins and whales. And there's actually one point when they're actually rocking to Hard Rock Stadium and they kill a load of all the Dolphins players, and the team they're playing in that particular game happens to be the Kansas City Chiefs. The whole reason why the Japanese are killing dolphins and whales is because South Park went on this really weird storyline that apparently the Americans sold the story to the Japanese that it was actually whales and dolphins that was piloting the Enola Gray that bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Oh my God.
So, you know, South Park just going off on the tangent as it does. Yeah. as it does. But yeah, it just like next time I see a dolphin fan, I'll just stand around and go, if you dolphin, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch that to see what the hell you're on about, mate.
I really am.
Yeah,
yeah. Watch that one.
Yeah, try and watch it sober because it won't make much sense if you've had a drink.
It makes sense anyhow, does it, South Park? No. All right, let's get on to the main part, though. One of the main parts of the show was you had an idea, didn't you? We actually put a tweet out asking about this, asking Chiefs Kingdom. The obstacles. What are the obstacles the Chiefs might face to reach mm-hmm. the Super Bowl this year? And it's safe to say you had a lot of tweets.
Yeah.
You had a very large amount of tweets that you had.
Yeah, everyone seemed to have an opinion on this particular idea. So, yeah, this is something that we done last year. Mm-hmm. We done this exact week. We ran this exact same segment. And, you know, May 26th, we've talked about it, running out of ideas. We need to steal content. So we're stealing content from ourselves. Yeah. From last year. And I had a listen to last year's show, and it's surprising to see it, like, well, it's, I don't think it's sorry, it's not very surprising to see that the answers that we've got via Twitter are very similar to the answers that we were getting last year.
Really?
Yeah. Apart from one big difference, and an answer that came up so many times yesterday and today from Neil Blair, from Duncan Smart, from Yeet Diddy, from David Way, from all these other people, Jadu Duval on Twitter, from Kay Shager chasing the next beer, that's his actual name on Twitter, lack of pass rush. We didn't bring this up last year. No. We didn't think it was going to be a problem last year because we sat here and said, oh, Chris Jones is going to be a defensive end. We're going to be absolutely fine. And that's going to work out a treat where everyone is worried about the lack of pass rush. And that out of all the answers that we got, that was the most consistent. Mm-hmm. Is the one obstacle that's going to be in our way for making the Super Bowl is ourselves, and it's our own internal problem, but it is the lack of pass rush. And I agree.
Yes. I think you're right. I do remember the conversation we had about, we'll be fine because Chris Jones is going to be, you know, he's slimmed down a bit. He looks ready. He's quick off the line. He's going to be a great defensive end. And that, it couldn't have gone any worse, I think, for that project. It was a project that I suppose was worth trying because he obviously felt that he could do that role effectively. But it's very much more than just getting to the quarterback. And, you know, we all know that obviously defensive ends have got to set the edge and all that and be a lot more than, like you said, just a quick guy that gets to the quarterback. So I'm with Chiefs Kingdom on this. It is a big worry. I mean, yes, we've got George Karlaftis, and we've
Slovakia with the sake.
You're gonna make sure you get that in, aren't you, every time? Yeah. Slovakia with the sake. And then we've got the slightly unimpressed or unimpressive Frank Clark. It's not really something to go on if you're planning on, you know, pass rush has been your main game or main kind of defensive strategy. Having a rookie and somebody who didn't really seem to be bothered last year.
Yeah, and when you've got a defensive coordinator whose whole game is built on man coverage and getting after the quarterback. I look at that AFC title game and Joe Burrow was like the most sacked football last year.
Yeah.
And outside of the first half in Cincinnati, the next three halves of football we played against the Bengals in last year, we hardly laid a glove on him. What's going on? The pass rush was just inept. And that's with Melvin Ingram in there. I do feel like the pass rush is going to be a little bit better because I do like the look of Carl Aftis.
Mm.
But it's the depth pieces that I'm worried about.
Yeah.
It's like if Frank Clark's healthy, and that's a big what if, then maybe he can be a difference maker. We can go back to 2019 when he was very good in the postseason and get that type of form out of him. But if he's not healthy, then he's just the guy. Chris Jones can just eat double teams all day because that's what he'll be facing. He'll be facing double teams and he'll be left to this rookie. Like, what's a good season for Kyle Aftis? What, I'd be happy if he got 7-8 sacks when realistically we're going to need him to contribute 10 plus. If the other guys aren't doing it, we need to get sacks from somewhere. And they can't be all from blitz pressures. They can't be off the edge. They can't be from linebacker and blitzing from the corners coming off. It can't be all from that. We need our four guys up front to get pressure on the quarterback.
Mm.
And if Kyle Aftis is only getting 7 and Frank Clark's only getting 7 and Chris Jones is getting 10, that's only 24 sacks.
Yeah.
That's not a lot from your three top guys, is it? So we need someone else to step up. Who's that going to be? I don't know. But in a league where people seem to play, teams seem to be adding pass catchers and pass rushers, the Chiefs seem to be a little bit behind at the moment in adding top tier pass rushing talent.
Yeah, quite light in that area, aren't we? For sure. Mm.
But we shall see. We shall see.
Yeah, I'd like to be wrong about this. I really would like to be wrong. And I'd love to see Frank Clark, his form, like before he came to the Chiefs, you know, the form he had then at the Seahawks. And hopefully we get that from Frank Clark. But I don't know what was wrong with him last year. He's in a perfect situation. He's got Chris Jones right alongside him. He's got, you know, Melvin Ingram with him as well. And you would have thought Frank Clark would have eaten from that. And he really didn't. I don't know what it was. Just something wasn't clicking in gear. But we'll leave that one. What are the other ones that you've got on there, obstacles?
Okay, so a few people brought up the schedule, which we've not talked about because the schedule got released after our last show.
It did.
And I think the schedule's a fair point. The schedule is the first half of it is the toughest schedule in NFL history. And that's what happens when you're a good team and you play in a good division. You play a lot of hard games.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs this year seem to be playing a schedule which is just unlike anything we've ever seen in NFL history. Mm. It is just an absolute gauntlet of a schedule. There's some breaks every now and then with the likes of the Texans and the Jags. But outside of that, the Chiefs are going to have to bring at least a B-plus game every single week just to try and get some wins. And if they're not on top of it, then there's a potential there that they lose the bye. And losing the bye will be detrimental to this Chiefs team's chances of making the Super Bowl. They absolutely need that bye next year. They need that bye because the playoffs last year was a gauntlet themselves. But next year, you're looking at these AFC teams and you're thinking all seven of them, like regardless, if you could name any seven teams that you think are going to make the playoffs, and it would be a gauntlet.
Mm.
So getting the bye is key.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs have been lucky in the sense that they've ended up hosting the AFC Championship game regardless. But that extra week off would just make such a difference. But I just think the schedule is going to make it so much harder for the Chiefs to get to that position. It's brutal. I don't know what the Chiefs have done to annoy the schedule makers, but I don't know. They slapped someone that they shouldn't have because that schedule is horrific.
Yeah, you're right. The Chiefs schedule, I don't remember. I think I remember tweeting this out. I don't remember the last time we had an easy schedule. Like, I think somebody said to me, was it 2013? I think it was.
Yeah, but that's down to the opponents. That's because we were the worst team in the league, and we were obviously fourth place in the AFC West, which enabled us to play a load of fourth place teams in the AFC.
Hmm.
And obviously, the AFC was bad back in 2013. There wasn't as many top teams. This year, like, obviously we knew the opponents coming into the schedule being released. But I'm not normally one for saying, the order in which you play makes much of a difference. But this year, I think it does. I do think there are no breaks. You've got a little bit at the end where the Chiefs get to go on a run and potentially reel off some wins. Yeah. I think they play the Seahawks, the Jags, the Texans, and maybe the Raiders. And that could be a nice little run for them. But that could be too late. Like, the Chiefs traditionally under Andy Reid have been extremely streaky. in one way or another. It's either they win a load of games in a row or they lose a load of games in a row. There's not much in between. If they lose one or two early in the year and then they go on a streak of losing games because their opponents are so hard, then they've got all that catching up to do. Mm. And their schedule isn't as fair. This isn't 2015 when we went 1-5, but then somehow the NFL schedule just like put a load of gimmies in front of them for the last 10 games of the season. So they could score 13 points against the Browns and somehow beat them at home. Like, that's not going to happen. The Chiefs are going to need to be on their on top of their game just to get 10, 11 wins this year. Like, if they are average, if they're an average Chiefs team, they will end up with an average record. They that's not like years past. An average Mahomes day would get you a few wins. This year, that's not going to happen. The Chiefs are going to have to be good consistently to get the record that they want to get them a bye.
I've actually got a list of the top five hardest strength of schedules from PFF.
Okay.
And Chiefs are top, obviously, as you've mentioned. Patriots second.
Yeah, that makes sense. Division.
Dolphins third.
Again, makes sense. Division.
Raiders fourth.
Yeah.
Bills fifth.
Have you seen the trend in that, the pattern in that?
Exactly.
All AFC teams.
All AFC teams, yeah.
All AFC teams. What division does the AFC East play this year?
Oh.
What NFC division? It's got to be the West.
Oh, it probably is.
So we play the West. We play the West. They must be playing the South then, I'm guessing.
It sounds like it's something along the similar lines of what we are, because it seems very strange that the top five there, the hardest schedules, are all AFC.
Yeah.
And in a way, that's probably going to help us a little bit better if we have got the hardest schedule, that if we've got every other AFC team having a hard schedule, especially the likes of the Bills and the Raiders, you know, it's probably going to help us out a little bit and average it out or even it out a little bit more. But
You're right. You are right. You make a good point, and I've been guilty. And I've just been guilty for forgetting about it for the last 2 or 3 minutes. Those teams have to play us,
yes,
as well.
Yeah,
that's so. There's me saying, "Oh, I fear them. I fear this stretch of the schedule." Mm. But those teams are also circling Kansas City and going, "Well, we'll put that down as a loss."
Yeah,
and if we manage to get a win, then great. But right now, they're looking at that game as a defeat. And this is where I need to remember that, and Chiefs Kingdom, and it's hard to get used to. It is a hard fact to get used to. But we are a Titan right now.
Here we go. This is this you being the Patriots type Chiefs fan.
But we are a Titan of the NFL. Like, who else?
It's so
who
arrogant else? As a Chiefs
but
fan.
But we are. We are the big cheese of the NFL right now. Like,
yeah.
Do you disagree?
No, I agree with you, but I just don't say it as often as you.
I'm good
look
for
at
least.
Me. Look yeah. at us. We're awesome.
So we'll do the over under at 30 minutes of whether I say it next show or not, or when I say it the next show. But we are a Titan, and I just need to rein it in a little bit in my fear for how this Chiefs team are going to do, because I need to, especially when talking about a schedule, because those teams are probably more scared of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs than I am of them.
Yeah. I suppose you're right.
Because we are massive.
Because we are juggernauts.
Because we are massive. Right, let's move on. A few people have said this one, and it goes without saying, but injuries. Yeah. I don't feel like we need to go. And there are a few select players that if they got an injury, touch wood, they won't. I am actually touching wood, but I mean my desk, not something else.
Might as well.
Yeah, yeah. If we do get an injury to certain players, then obviously that will derail our season completely.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name names at all, but that goes without saying. There's certain position groups that we can probably take an injury or two and potentially get away with it. I'm thinking maybe receiver now, potentially in the secondary, there's throwing so many guys at that we could probably cope with them. But certain positions, certain players that we can't take injuries, because if we do, that's the season over.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose that's similar for any team, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, the fact that we've gone very youthful on the team as well. I mean, that should kind of help out because you think youthful players are not probably, you know, they're going to be fit enough. The recovery time is going to be better, blah, blah, blah. But you still see it. You still see it happening, and especially when they're transitioning from the college game into the NFL. It's a bit more brutal. It's a bit more brutal on the body and stuff. So, I can kind of understand the concern about that. And I suppose that leads us into another one, doesn't it, really? The youth and inexperience of the team, especially the fact that we've got a lot of draft picks this year.
A couple of people pointed this out, Christian Gumminger, to name one of them, our friend from Arrowhead Pride. There are a few more, but I'm just going through the tweets now, but I'm sorry if I didn't bring you up. But if you did bring it up, it's a great point. Yeah, inexperience. We know what inexperience can do to any team. To bring it back to my team, Arsenal, they were going really well.
Yeah.
And then they got put into a big spot with loads of pressure on them at their rivals, and they couldn't handle the pressure.
Yeah.
They capitulated because they're youth players. And this is what you're going to get with rookies, with young players. They are going to make mistakes. And it happens everywhere in every walk of life.
Yeah.
Anyone new doing something or in a pressurized environment, a lot of people will make mistakes, and that's going to happen. And we just have to accept that, yes, some young players may make a mistake that costs us a blown coverage here, an offside there. I'm sorry to bring that up. But, you know, certain things can and most likely will happen that will cause the Chiefs to come down in a big spot.
Yeah.
But we accept that now, and there's no need to apologise going forward. I tell you, that's something I don't like, and it's happened over here far too much recently, is sportsmen apologising for messing up on the pitch.
Yeah.
Well, why? Like, they miss a penalty. They apologise via Instagram. Why? Like, I just don't get it.
Deal with it.
I don't get it. Like, it's not like it's not like as fans, we're not thinking you're not trying your hardest. We absolutely accept you're trying your hardest. And that's all we can ask for as fans, is teams giving it their all. And if their all is good enough, then great. But we don't need an apology. Like, the players do not have to apologize for not being at their best. Like, it just, if I mess up at work and it indirectly affects a customer, I'm not going to go, if they up to that customer and apologize every single time I make a mind. Oh, sorry, I done a typo there. Like, it doesn't make sense.
And I just, all your typos.
Exactly. I just don't get why sportsmen these days feel the need to get onto Instagram, to get onto Twitter and post these long apologies for making a mistake at sport, at a children's game. Like, what are you getting into? You know, that's a different point.
Exactly.
Anyways, the last one. The last one. Not running the football.
Oh, my God. I feel like this has come from a particular game last year. This is what I feel like is... Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's that over-reliance on Patrick Mahomes. It's that reluctance to put the ball in there and having the confidence, I suppose, in the running back. Mm-hmm. Obviously we brought in Ronald Jones, haven't we, to kind of help that running back stable out a bit. And they have looked at that area in the team, and I appreciate what they're doing there. They are making sure that they are stacking up in there in the running back area. But it's one thing having the players there available, but it's another thing actually going out there and using them. And we've said this before about Andy Reid wanting to keep the ball in Mahomes' hand because he is the greatest quarterback of all time that we all love and want him to do well and show something spectacular to dig a game out. But sometimes you really just need to get that other team guessing and thinking, they're going to the run game. Why are they doing it? Why are they going to the run game? And then hit them with something that Mahomes can, hit them with a long bomb later on or something, you know.
And they've got the O-line to do it.
Use that O-line. Use it. Use it for both kind of, both styles. Let's put it that
way. Use the pass to set up the run, then use the run to set up the pass. Just go a little bit more balanced. And people might say, oh, it's a bit boring, but I think we've gone past the MVP 2018 version of Patrick Mahomes is never coming back.
Highlight Mahomes.
Is never coming back. Yeah. Like, there will always be highlights from Mahomes. He will always do things in games. You think, what? Did he just do that? You always have to double take watching Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But that version, that particular version, 2018 version, is gone forever. It has gone to the YouTube highlight reels for forever, because teams will not allow him to do that type of stuff again. We are going to start seeing this more conventional quarterback that still blows our mind in Patrick Mahomes in maybe not necessarily a conventional style offense, but a potentially more balanced offense. And if we can give Mahomes a little break by letting Clyde or Ronald Jones run for 5-6 yards a carry every now and then do it. That's why not? You've got the O-line. You literally have the potential to have the best O-line in football this year.
Yeah.
And we've got nasty guys up front that want to run block. Let's run behind those guys. Let's bring those safeties down. Let's fill that box and then let Mahomes go to work. Let Andy Reid go to work and do some crazy stuff. I agree with all the commentators that saying if they don't run the football, then they aren't going to make the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I know analytics are hating me for this right now. But with the way that teams like to play the Chiefs, and more particularly Mahomes, I feel like it's a necessity.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely something you've got to utilize it.
Yeah.
You have to.
You'd be mad. You would be mad not to.
Well, yeah. There's the other thing. You don't want to pile too much of the pressure on Mahomes as well. I mean, yeah, he deals with the pressure anyway, because he is the quarterback of the team. He is the talisman of the team. But also, like you just mentioned, you've got to give him that breathing space sometimes to kind of soak in the game and think, right, they're doing this, they're doing that. The run game, like you said, can pull the defenses around all over, and then he can work with that. We've seen it before. Like you said, finding the soft spots. He can work with that, and he'll compute that in his mind that I've seen this work. I've seen this happen.
Yeah.
I can probably do something with that.
Mahomes going under center and then running true play action.
That's what I mean. Imagine
that.
Just give him the focus, give him the ability and the time and the breathing space to do that, to work out the game a bit more, not just keep throwing it into his hand and making sure that he's trying to force the ball down the field all the time. I mean, we probably won't be doing that as much with the likes of the fact that we don't have Tyreek Hill, who's he must have been so tempting to throw to.
Yeah.
He must have been so tempting because he's got the speed, and he was exceptional at route running as well to obviously get free. So, but now surely they've got to use everything now. It's got to be a unit as this offense now, isn't it? It's got to be a unit, not just individual players now. I think that's the aim of this.
I look at the personnel now across the board on the offense, and I see a group of guys that are built to do, as a collective, everything well.
Yes.
Run the ball and catch the passes and get open. And I don't feel like we had the bodies in the receiver room last year that enabled us to run the ball as well as we wanted to. It was more speed related. It was the Legion of Zoom.
Yeah.
Where with this new group, as I said earlier, the sky's the limit.
Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. But before we go, we want to say a huge thank you to those that have left us a rating review, as we really do appreciate all your comments. And to show you what we mean when we say we read every single one, we've got to say this. We had one of the best reviews ever from a guy called G. Pinsky, which was read out on the AP editor's show by Pete, wasn't it? And, mate, when he read it out, I was like, man, that is probably the best review we've ever had.
Yeah. I kid you not, it puts me in the best mood for that day. Just knowing that people are listening. Like, obviously, we see the stats, so we know people are listening. But I think... No one ever talks about anything good. Everyone always goes online to complain, don't they? But it's rare for people to recommend stuff. And so when we do get like ratings and reviews that come in and specifically mention the Great British Chiefs Show, it just warms my heart a little bit. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. And like even just listening to Pete having to read it out, like probably thinking that one of our dads wrote it. I do enjoy it. And obviously, if you enjoy any of the shows on the channel, leave a rating and review for those guys. There's a lot of good shows on this channel.
Yeah.
And just leave a review and tell us what you think, because I promise you they all get read and they are massively appreciated. They're not like one Thornhill in today's headlines. They are super, super appreciated.
They definitely are. We, like you said, we really enjoy them and it does, it really does brighten our day. Your Boys from the Kingdom will return again in 2 weeks' time, but we will be ramping up to a weekly show at some point as we get closer to the start of the 2022 season. If you're thirsty for Chiefs content here, stick around on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, as it is loaded with podcasts to keep you entertained during your working week. But all that's left to say here is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.